Okay, welcome to the situation update for Friday, May 7th, 2021. Mike Adams here. We are going to cover a number of important things every day. It's like another level of insanity, but I've got a video to show you here that will teach us all some very important lessons about how to survive an angry Antifa mob that's assaulting you in your vehicle. It's a short video, only 30 seconds, but there's very important lessons in this. And I know that most of you listening to this, you own a firearm or you're thinking of owning a firearm. And we all need to be aware that in America today, Antifa and Black Lives Matter are allowed to be wide open terrorists. They are never charged with any crime, never charged. They may be arrested and then all the charges will be dropped by the DAs. In these cities, like Portland, for example. In fact, this video is from Portland. So there are things you need to understand. The Democrats have their shock troops, which are Antifa and Black Lives Matter. They are allowed to wield weapons. They're allowed to throw Molotov cocktails. They're allowed to bomb government buildings. They're allowed to blind law enforcement with lasers. But you, as a law-abiding citizen, your options are more limited because you will be prosecuted for almost anything that you do. Because you're not one of them, you see. So there's no real justice, obviously. There's no rule of law anymore in America. The country's gone. It's over. America's already over. And it's just breaking down into lawlessness. So you need to watch this video. I'm going to narrate it. We're going to go into that in a minute. The overall theme, though, of today's podcast is that we're living in a militarized medical dictatorship that is run by the criminally insane. And if you listen to my podcast yesterday and the day before, you understand this very well, that the leaders who are pushing these deadly vaccines are criminally insane. They are mass murderers. They need to be arrested and charged with crimes against humanity. But that may happen, but not now. It's going to take this horrific lesson. It's going to take an atrocity of mass deaths from the vaccine before the average person wakes up and says, maybe it's a bad idea to use human beings for medical experiments, you know, because I guess everybody's forgotten the lessons from World War II and the Nazis and the Third Reich and all of that. So apparently society is going to have to learn this lesson yet again. A lot of people are going to suffer and die in the meantime, unfortunately. Well, I have an article for you today from the Salk Institute. Now, this is Jonas Salk, who we're talking about here, right? So one of the most cited heroes of the history of medicine and science, at least even the vaccine people are always talking about Salk and the discoveries of science and so on. Well, the Salk Institute has just put out an article, a few days ago, that reveals the coronavirus spike protein is itself the disease. The spike protein causes a vascular disease. The spike protein is the weapon. And we're going to go through that article in some shocking detail because did you know that when you're being vaccinated with a COVID vaccine, you're being injected with the spike protein? So in other words, according to the Salk Institute, COVID vaccines are weapons against humanity. This is confirmed by the Salk Institute in their own research that they've published at salk.edu. And Salk is spelled S-A-L-K. So salk.edu, we're going to go through that. It's going to be just absolutely stunning. Talk a little bit about, some other news items out of Maricopa County and things like that. But you know what? Let's just jump right into this. Because we do have a lot to cover. All right. In fact, we're going to roll the video here first. We're going to go through it twice. So, okay, to my editors, 3, 2, 1, go. All right. Now, we're rolling this without sound, and I want you to observe the situation here. There's a man in a red truck. He's the good guy, and then there's a bunch of these Antifa goons who are heavily armed. Now, notice the man got out of his truck, and notice he now appears to have a gun. And then he gets shoved, he points the gun at somebody, and then he gets tackled and beaten badly. All right, that's the video. Now, we're going to watch it again, and this time we're going to go through and pause it a little bit. Now, we're doing it without sound because it's mostly just profanity. The sound almost doesn't matter. They're just screaming at each other with profanity. But let's roll it again. All right, 3, 2, 1, go. All right, we're looking at the man in the truck again, and we're going to freeze this video at some point where I say freeze, but you, the viewer, just keep watching. Now freeze. Now you notice at this point that the man has left his vehicle. So the red truck is this man's vehicle. He's left the vehicle. He's now, what has he done? He has surrounded himself. I mean, he's put himself into a crowd of people who are larger than him and heavily armed. Some of these people, the guy on the left of the video is carrying what looks like an AR-15. And these are very violent Antifa terrorists. And this man just got out of his truck and walked and waded into this crowd of people. Okay. All right. Now unfreeze now. And then we're going to watch him again. He's about to go back into his truck. He changes his mind. He comes back out again. Freeze here. So somebody was yelling something nasty to him. And at this point, you can see the Antifa man on the left definitely has a rifle of some sort, or maybe it's an AR-style pistol. But the man here looks like an older guy wearing a brown shirt. He was about to get back in his truck, and he changed his mind, and he decided that his ego was more important. And so now he wants to come back and confront this guy that's yelling something at him. Big mistake. He should have got in his car, and he should have driven forward. He should have got out of there, okay? We're about to unfreeze it, so unfreeze. Now watch. The guy shoves him, and then he frees here. He pulls, the man in the brown shirt pulls a pistol, and he points it at the man with the gun, which now come to think of, it looks more like a, what is that? Almost like a Kel-Tec or something. Maybe a sub-2000 9mm or something. Can't really tell. But the guy in the brown shirt had extended his arms and pointed his gun at the man. And this allowed the man behind him to the right, which is this black man with a white shirt and some kind of a backpack or something, is now tackling him. So he made the mistake of presenting his gun out into a space forward where it was very easy for someone to tackle him and disarm him. Okay, now we're going to unfreeze it now. And of course, he gets thrown to the ground, and then they proceed to beat him and kick him and take his weapon. And of course, he ends up in the hospital. And that's the end of that video. So the reason I wanted you to see this video is, well, a couple of reasons. So number one, a lot of us are going to find ourselves in this situation more and more because America is breaking down into complete lawlessness. The Democrat-controlled cities have no respect for the rule of law. They will never prosecute their own shock troops. Just like Hitler, you know, wouldn't prosecute the brown shirts when they were beating people up and committing crimes, the Democrats won't prosecute Antifa terrorists. So this means you're on your own. And also the Democrats are defunding the police. So when you are in a situation like this, you need to have a sense of when you should get the heck out of there. Number one, don't leave your vehicle. You are sitting in your best protection. If you're in your vehicle, you're sitting in your best protection, and you're also sitting in a very effective weapon if you need to use it that way for self-defense. Now, granted, if you were to run over a bunch of people as you're trying to escape in Portland, Oregon, you'll be charged with, you know, murder, assault, whatever. But if that's the only way you can live through this, that may be your last option. Now, in other states, like I think Florida, maybe Oklahoma, I forgot which states are passing laws that says if you're surrounded by an angry mob, you have the right to escape in your vehicle, even if it goes thumpity-thump and runs over a couple of Antifa goons. So know where you are. Know the laws of escaping a violent mob that are setting a kill trap, basically, for you. And if that is your only option, and if you feel that you are in imminent danger and you really don't have any other choices, then there's something called the accelerator pedal. And that's probably what this man should have done. He should have hit the gas and got on out of there. Much better to leave the scene than to step outside the vehicle and start screaming and pointing pistols at people and then get tackled and beaten to death. Now, I'm not sure he was beaten to death, but he was beaten. You know, you could see some pretty hefty kicks and so on. The dude's probably got broken ribs and punctured lung and things like that. Not a good situation. You could die from that, obviously. The second thing is he walked into a crowd and allowed the violent crowd members to flank him. So if you had to leave your vehicle in a crowd like this, you would want to keep your back on the vehicle so that nobody can get behind you. Now, first of all, I mean, you shouldn't even leave the vehicle. Number one, you should just try to get out of there in your truck. A truck is a very effective vehicle. But secondly, if you get out, don't wander into the crowd and let people get behind you, which is what he did. He let his emotions get the better of him, and he stopped thinking tactically, and he started thinking with his ego. And that's the big mistake. And then third, and this I see this a lot with beginner firearms people. They think that you always have to extend the firearm in order to engage somebody. Now, those of us who are experts in firearms, experience and training and so on, we know that you can keep that gun high and tight right on your chest, or right kind of extended a little bit from your armpit. You can shoot from your own armpit, basically. And if you're in a situation, for example, you're clearing a house, I know there's a lot of law enforcement that listen to this. If you're clearing a house, you don't stick your straight arms and the gun across a corner so that some bad guy can grab your gun. No, you don't do that. You do, number one, you back away from that corner. You do what's called pieing the corner. And then if you have to maneuver in a tight location, you can keep that gun close and tight. You can shoot just with, point blank shooting, basically. You're not even using the sights at close range. You don't even need to use the sights at close range if you have any experience with a gun. But don't throw your gun. Don't hold your gun out there where somebody can grab it. If you're in a crowd and you're in a mob like that, you need to be able to control your own gun. So you need to keep it close and tight. But then again, the guy shouldn't have even gotten out of his truck in the first place. All right. So as I see it, this man made three critical mistakes that could have gotten him killed. And I'm sharing this with you because it's a good reminder that you are never allowed to make these mistakes. Number one, don't exit your vehicle if you don't have to. Number two, don't wade into a crowd. Let bad guys surround you. Number three, don't extend a gun out, stiff arm gun that somebody else can grab and take away from you. This guy's lucky to be alive. He made three bad mistakes. And by the way, the people I know who are in special forces or former law enforcement or former, DEA or whatever, they would never make those three mistakes. Because if you make those mistakes frequently, you're dead. This guy's lucky he's not dead, but you can't afford to make those mistakes. Neither can I. So we need to be mindful of what we're doing. When we are armed, especially when we are armed, we have a responsibility to de-escalate situations when we can. We have a responsibility to not just start pointing guns at people. I mean, you might even say, some of you watching this who are law enforcement, you might say the fourth mistake was pointing a gun at somebody and not pulling the trigger. I mean, why pull the gun as a threat? And why pull the gun on a guy who's got a rifle on you? That's not a good decision. It's called escalating the situation. In fact, there were two men with rifles, if you notice, pointed at this guy. You don't pull a pistol on somebody that's pointing a rifle at you. You don't let your ego get involved. You just don't even pull the pistol. Don't even get out of the truck. Just leave, okay? So this is going to happen more and more all across America. And actually, the biggest solution in all of this is don't be in Portland. Don't be driving through a liberal city. You need to get out. And you need to get to a state where you have the right to defend yourself. You need to get to a state that has a legitimate law-abiding district attorney who will charge left-wing terrorists for their crimes. But in this case, no one was charged. No one was charged. I mean, yeah, they'll charge you for defending yourself, but they won't charge leftists for instigating violence. Now, Texas. Let's talk about Texas because there was some news yesterday. Big news, big news. The Senate, the state Senate of Texas, has now passed and approved the what's called constitutional carry. So there are 20 states, I believe, currently in the United States that have constitutional carry, which means anybody who can legally own a gun is allowed to carry that gun without a special permit. And this is huge, by the way. This has been happening over the last several years. And this movement for constitutional carry, that's what I call it. Or some people call it open carry or permitless carry or whatever. This movement is fantastic because it means that you don't have to get special permission to exercise your constitutional rights. Now, in Texas, the House had passed this quite some time ago, but the Senate was very reluctant to pass this. And there were a lot of people who were testifying before the Senate committee to say, hey, you know, why is Texas not yet a constitutional carry state? I mean, come on, this is Texas, right? How come we can't carry guns when they can, you know, in Kansas and Indiana or wherever else this is already law? So the Senate finally passed it, and it's going to Governor Abbott's desk. Now, as I understand it, there's still some differences between the House version and the Senate version, but based on the current situation, it looks like they'll work those things out, and we will have a constitutional carry in the state of Texas. Now, this is great. It doesn't affect me personally because I already have a concealed carry in the state of Texas, but for a lot of other people who don't want to get the concealed carry, they will be able to exercise constitutional carry. So what this means is we're going to have a lot more armed people walking around with guns on their hips, visible guns. And from my point of view, this is awesome. This is great. An armed society is a very polite society. And if you're wondering what Antifa thinks about all this, they hate it because they know that if they try to attack any given Texan, at least outside the libtard cities like Austin, then the chances are that Texan is going to be armed. Actually, that's kind of the case right now. Chances are that Texan's going to have maybe a 45 pistol and then maybe a backup shotgun or a backup rifle in their truck or car or what have you. And so Antifa would, you know, they think twice about committing violence against Texans. That's why you don't see a lot of Antifa violence in Texas like you do in Portland and Seattle and so on. So this is one more reason to consider Texas. I know it seems like everybody in the country is already moving to Texas, and I'm not trying to entice everybody to move to Texas. Only move to Texas if you agree with the philosophy of Texas. If you're pro-Second Amendment, pro-First Amendment, you're not some soy boy. Yeah? You know, you appreciate real justice and the rule of law. You support veterans and law enforcement, the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, and the Bible. If all that makes sense to you, then you might consider Texas. Otherwise, dare I say, stay the hell out. Seriously. Oh, and I should add one more thing. Life is hard in Texas. That's what makes us tough. And you've heard me. You've heard some of my trials and tribulations here in the week without power because the Texas power grid failed because of leftist policies, by the way, on wind farms and everything. But that's another story. Texas is hard, and that's what makes people strong. People who grow up in lazy climates, i.e. the coast of California, become lazy in their mindset, and they think that they're owed everything. They forgot how to work for anything. You see, the climate affects the culture. This is true everywhere around the world. Lazy climates, easy climates, make for lazy culture, which leads to socialism because people think that they should get handouts. They don't appreciate the value of work. They don't appreciate the importance of rugged individualism. Harsh climates tend to create people who are more self-reliant. And Texas is a harsh climate, I would say. Crazy storms, you've got hurricanes, lots of snakes. I'll talk about snakes here in a second. It's very, very hot in the summer. And in the winter and the spring, you have like 6-inch hail, especially in Dallas. And crazy tornadoes rolling through Dallas, too. And then there's no water west of Austin for most of the state. It's this barren desert and so on. I mean, Texas is a tough place, but it breeds tough people. And that's what I love about Texas. I don't want to live in a lazy, easy climate surrounded by lazy, easy people who are doped up all day. I'd rather live around tough Texans. It just happens to suit who I am. Now, I've only caught a couple of rat snakes this year, by the way. Well, let me just give you a little more flavor of this. I lifted up my water bottle on my desk. What was it last night? I was like, oh, a scorpion there. What? That's wild. How did that scorpion get there? And he crawled away. I've only been stung by a Texas scorpion once. On my finger, and it felt like someone had driven a nail through my finger. It was like, wow, that's real pain. That is a very effective scorpion venom right there. Let's avoid that from now on. It was an accident. I wasn't playing with the scorpion. He just crawled up and stung me. So there are scorpions all over Texas. That's true. There are snakes. When I first got to Texas, I freaked out about the rat snakes. I came to realize over time, they're not that aggressive and you can handle them. And these are non-venomous snakes that mostly eat baby chickens and chicken eggs. And I lost a few chickens before I learned all this because I didn't have a mentor telling me about all the predators in Texas. So yeah, I would find chickens that were too big for the snake to swallow, but they would still try. So they would, what they actually do, I mean, just to be honest about it, they coil up around a small chicken and suffocate it to death. And once the chicken stops breathing, they try to eat it head first. And if the chicken's too big, they will spit it back out and move on. And in the morning, you'll find a dead chicken with a wet head. That's how you know a stupid rat snake tried to eat it and couldn't fit it. It's just the meal was too big. And I'm sad that I lost a few chickens before I learned all that a few years ago. But rat snakes are pretty easy to handle. They can bite you, but they usually don't. They just try to flee, and they can climb trees too and things like that. So you're going to have to deal with rat snakes. But then there are also rattlesnakes. And I forgot how many rattlesnakes I shot last year, maybe 3 or 4. This year, I've seen one so far this year. Didn't shoot it. It just crawled away. But if I get an opportunity when I see rattlesnakes, I do blow them away. Although I don't do that to non-venomous snakes like rat snakes. I just capture them and relocate them. But being around snakes and scorpions is just part of the lifestyle of Texas. And then when it rains, it really rains. It's flash floods, flash flood warnings everywhere. And then, you know, when there are tornadoes that come through every once in a while. I had a little tornado one time, destroyed my goat house. It just like knocked the whole thing over. Fortunately, the goats were not inside it, so the goats were fine. But yeah, crazy weather. And this, again, creates tough, more self-reliant people. Now, people who live in cities don't live in reality. So the cities in Texas aren't really Texas. You know, Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, El Paso, and so on. They're not really Texas. And this applies to people everywhere, not just Texas, but the cities are going to collapse in America. This day is coming very soon. The cities are going to collapse. I mean, I think Portland is already in a state of an accelerated collapse right now. I mean, think about it. Lawless. The police do nothing to protect the innocent. I mean, you have roving bands of armed terrorists, left-wing terrorists, just all in the streets. Nobody stops it. I mean, it's basically... It's already a third world country, Portland is. And it's run by a left-wing lunatic mayor and a left-wing lunatic governor. And there's really no hope for Oregon unless you get rid of the left-wing lunatics in office, vote them out, or arrest them, or, you know, what, charge them with their crimes because they are criminals. But there's no hope for Oregon. So I don't know why anybody who still has the ability to leave is living in Portland. And why would anybody live in Seattle? Now, maybe some of you listening to this, you're living in Seattle. And I don't know, you have reasons. You're going to say, oh, well, my grandmother lives in Seattle. I got to take care of her. Or my job is still in Seattle. Or whatever. And at some point, that internal conversation with yourself is going to be like something along the lines of, is it worth dying here? You know, it's like, are you willing to sacrifice your life in order to keep your job? Because that's what it may be. When the financial collapse comes and we know it's accelerating and we know the monetary debasement is accelerating, we know inflation is just skyrocketing across food and lumber and fuel and everything, housing, all of it. Well, this financial collapse, the dollar collapse is approaching. It's very near. We don't know exactly when it is. But when it happens, folks, every city instantly collapses into lawlessness, chaos, and violence. And these left-wing groups right now, they are more than happy to target white people in their cars and pull them out of their cars and beat them on the street. And that's today. What do you think it's going to be like 24 hours after the collapse? That's a day when, if you live in Portland, you're going to wish that you had left a week earlier, because you won't be able to leave, because Antifa will block the roads. They will blockade all the highways, and then they'll just go car to car shooting people and stealing everything and you know, murdering and raping and everything. And if you think that's an exaggeration, then you probably never lived outside the United States. You've really, I'm not trying to insult anybody listening here, but if you don't know that humanity is capable of that, you haven't really been around much, honestly. I mean, find a friend of yours who's a former special forces cop, especially cops that respond to domestic abuse calls or cops that worked the drug beat, and you want to learn about humanity, ask a former undercover drug cop to tell you some real stories about what they saw. Or ask a former operator who operated overseas in Somalia or Haiti or South America. Ask Jeffrey Prather for stories about what he saw with the drug cartels and the things they did. And you will come to discover that humanity is barely held together by this very thin fabric of this social contract of law and order. And it's a temporary agreement that only exists because there's always this threat of law enforcement responding and taking away your freedoms by arresting you, or perhaps engaging you or shooting you or fining you or whatever they might do. When you take that away, humanity, every human group, and this includes Portlanders and people who live in Seattle and people who live in California and everywhere, every group rapidly devolves into tribal warfare. Every human group. And under the scenario of tribal warfare, they will steal, murder, rape, and pillage with no limits until someone stops them. And if you think that you live in a city and your neighbors aren't the kind of people who would do that, your neighbors are polite. Oh, these youngins, these polite, upstanding youngins. You ever heard that word? Youngins. That means young people, as stated by older people. Youngins would never do that. Yes, they will. When the collapse comes and they're hungry enough and they're desperate enough, they will absolutely do all that stuff. Doesn't take much. You know, the Milgram experiments showed that about 2/3 of human beings in every culture are capable of murdering another human being simply by being told to do so by someone in an apparent position of authority. That's what the Milgram experiment showed. We shouldn't be surprised that people will murder each other if given the chance. What you need to do is make sure you don't give them that chance. That's the answer here. So that's why we're going through all this. This podcast isn't really about self-defense per se, but I'm trying to give you a dose of reality because life's about to get really hard. And any of us who wish to survive all this, we need to have a realistic assessment of what's about to happen. And of course, I have a whole downloadable free audiobook on this. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. If you haven't downloaded and listened to that yet, it's at globalreset.news. You can download the whole book. And I've got survival nutrition. That's at survivalnutrition.com. And I also have, by the way, The Contagious Mind. And that book is done. And in fact, I was just told by my team that it's going to be released, looks like on Monday, or at least it's going to be the final version's coming to me for approval on Monday. That's just a few days away. And you'll be able to download that audiobook, all the chapters, next week from thecontagiousmind.com. So there's three free audiobooks for you to totally freak you out, rock your world, get you ready, whatever you want to say. Enjoy many more hours of listening, you know, to my stories about what's going to happen in the world, but a lot of practical information there as well about how to survive and how to get ready. And speaking of survival and survival gear, I got to bring in today's sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. That's the website to check them out, SAT123.com. Why? Why satellite phone? Because it works everywhere on the planet, basically, and you point it above the equator, and you can make phone calls, and people can call you as long as your phone's pointing at the satellites above the equator. And this is true even if the cell networks go down. And satellite phones used to be really expensive, like $1,000 or more. You can get one for free from the Satellite Phone Store by joining a plan that's like a monthly minutes plan. You get a certain number of minutes a month. If you don't use them, they roll over. So you can save them up for emergencies, and they'll give you the phone for free once you're on that plan. So you can carry a phone in your car for emergencies. You can have it in your home, carry it in your purse, put it in your office, whatever. Things go wrong, society goes bad, you got an emergency phone. And let me tell you something I've done with my family members is we have agreed that if society collapses and the cell networks go down, that we will call each other at a certain specific time of the day. So you just prearrange with a family member to say, hey, guess what? 12 noon is our time. And you share your satellite phone numbers with each other and you practice it once or twice. And then you just have an agreement. Hey, if it all hits the fan, everything goes down, I will call you at 12 noon on your sat phone. Be ready. Have that antenna pointed at the satellites. Have your phone on. And we will be able to talk no matter what's happening in society. So that's why a satellite phone can save your life. SAT123.com. And thank you for supporting our sponsors. Their sponsorship money goes into Brighttown.com, which is kicking ass, by the way. We are building an amazing assortment of new features. And I might as well just remind you, we're launching Brighttown TV this July. We're kind of aiming for July 4th. I don't know if we're going to make that date, but I'm working with the IMTV team, which is former Ambassador Alan Keyes and Bob Sisson, Bob the Plumber, as he's known, and another Bob. I don't know if he wants his full name shared. I don't know. But there's a whole amazing team there. They're working with us. We're going to launch Brighttown TV, which is going to be, I think, initially 6 to 8 hours of original shows each day, Monday through Friday. And then after those shows, it's going to be on loop for the next 16 hours or so. And I've already talked to quite a large list of people who will have shows on the network. And it's going to be pretty amazing. In fact, I mentioned this to Alex Jones too. And Alex is going to be a guest of mine on the network at some point. I'm going to have some of his hosts, like Harrison, and maybe Owen Schroyer and others, to come on our network as guests. And we're going to talk about their work. And it's not just InfoWars people, but also other really interesting people from across independent media. For example, I'm going to have in studio Colonel Phil Waldron, who is the former military intelligence man who knows about how the packets were stolen and things like that. And I got a lot of interesting people lined up for you. We're going to have Scott McKay in person in our studio. When he's not on the tour anyway. Oh, by the way, Scott McKay has his event coming up. What is that? It's, I think about, yeah, it's a little over a week away in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. His meet and greet fundraising event. You can find details at scottmckay.us. And, oh, you know what? Sherry Tenpenny has an event coming up. Is it tomorrow? Yeah, I think it's tomorrow. Oh, gosh, I better get ready for that. That's at drtenpenny.com, drtenpenny.com. That's her event talking about the 20 ways that the vaccine causes biological damage. And I think that's a paid event. It's a couple of hours, live streaming. So, folks, there's a lot of great stuff going on here. There's a lot of great content, a lot of patriots and truth tellers like Scott McKay and Sherry Tenpenny and so many others and Alan Keyes. It's just amazing. I feel so blessed to be in this group of amazing patriots and truth tellers who are making such a positive difference in the world and blowing the whistle on all the vaccine dangers and, well, the vaccine holocaust that's actually happening. So thank you for all your support in helping us make this happen. The Health Ranger Store is doing amazingly well. We just got astaxanthin, a good new supply of astaxanthin back in stock. Well, I should say it never ran out, but we have a much larger inventory now. So we have 12 milligram astaxanthin capsules. That's called the king of the carotenoids. The thing you need to know about astaxanthin is that it's fat soluble. So the best combination to take astaxanthin and get it into all your muscles and tissues, you know, as a powerful antioxidant, is to take it with fats or oils. So the best thing is to take it with fish oil. We also sell something called ahi flower oil, which is kind of a plant-based fish oil, I call it. I mean, it's not technically a fish oil. It's the closest thing to fish oil that comes from plants. And that's what I take all the time because I actually don't take fish oils anymore. I just take ahi flower. That's A-H-I, ahi. Ahi flower oil, that's a plant, together with astaxanthin. Try that combo. It's pretty amazing. Healthrangerstore.com to find out all the details about that. And by the way, since I just mentioned this, I want to introduce a term to you called God privilege. And you know how left-wing racists, they say that white people have white privilege. And, you know, that's just their way of being racist bigots. But what I've found in life, especially recently, is that there is a kind of privilege, and I've come to name it God privilege. And it's the privilege that comes from having the protection of God. And guess how you get the protection of God in your life? Because, I mean, number one, I wake up and I think, this is unbelievable. I am so blessed to have this platform, you know, to be able to speak to so many people. I'm so blessed to have this a thriving business, the Health Ranger Store, and this laboratory where we can test foods and make sure they're clean, and we can build more buildings like we're doing now and pouring concrete and all this. I'm really blessed. I'm so blessed. I mean, I've got angelic protection, and a lot of this I know is due to your prayers. So I feel blessed by the fact that you're praying for my safety and praying for us to continue our work. And I feel it. And I experience it every day. I feel angelic protection in my life. I feel God touching me every day. And that's privilege, you know, but it's privilege that you, in a sense, you earn it. And guess how you earn it? You honor what God wants you to do in your life. And yeah, I know this just transitioned into a sermon somehow, but when you are doing things in alignment with God, then you gain the blessing of God. When you're doing things that contradict what God wants in your life, which could be not just going the wrong direction, but actually sinning or denouncing God or you know, following Satan or those kinds of crazy things, you do those things, you do not have God privilege. You do not have it. Because the guardian angels are not there to protect you if you become a Satanist, you know, or to protect you if you become a pedophile, child trafficker, you know, Democrat fundraiser. So if you want God privilege in your life, be more God-like. and you will find protections and abundance. And God wants you, I believe, God wants you to share your abundance with others. God does not want you to, let's say, halt the flow of goodness. God doesn't want you to hoard. I don't normally like that word, but God doesn't want you to hoard all the knowledge for yourself or to hoard all the good news for yourself. God wants you to share information. God wants you to even share wealth to those who deserve it, not to just hand it out like, you know, socialism welfare, but to help others maybe do a startup investment in a company of a younger person who has an idea, maybe loan money to somebody who's deserving, who's already earned the right to have some money. So they want to start their own business venture and they can pay it back. You know, it's not about handouts, but it's about sharing wealth or sharing knowledge, sharing especially information about health, which includes information to save people from these COVID death vaccines. God wants you to tell people to not commit vaccine suicide. And when you do these things in alignment with what God wants for your life, then you gain God privilege or God protections, you might say. And also, by the way, God wants you to be humble. And this is a hard lesson for a lot of people to learn. And it's a lesson that I have only learned over time through many, many trials and tribulations. But I found that when I remove myself from the work that I'm doing as much as possible and just let God's intention flow through me, then the prosperity just multiplies. And so many amazing things happen that I could never have intended or engineered myself. Connections, meeting new amazing people, discovering new information, just suddenly stumbling into new formulations of products that help people heal, things like that. This is all run by God through our lives. It's not like we can block God and say, okay, it's all up to me. I got to figure it all out. It doesn't work that way. It's almost like you're floating in a raft down the river of faith. And you just say, hey, this is the river of faith. And instead of struggling and paddling and trying to go upstream, you just relax and say, hey, I wonder where God's going to take me today on this river of faith, because this is an interesting journey and the scenery always changes. So just relax, enjoy the float, the water adventure down the river of faith as God guides you to where he needs you to be in your life, and then have enough wisdom and silence to listen to God. So you're not always distracted by your own ego and your own aims and your own dramas and everything. Just be silent. Listen. He's talking to you. He's got a plan for you. And he's going to show you something amazing. He's going to use your life experience in ways that you never could have imagined yourself. That's what I've discovered, especially over the last couple of years. It's been amazing. And you know, one final thought on God, and then I'm running out of time. I'm sorry. But people say, oh, there's no proof of God. You know, the atheists, they say that. And I say, you know, my goodness, if you can't see God in everything, I mean, just take a walk in nature in the spring. If you don't see God all around you, you're blind. I mean, look at the flowers, look at the pollinators, look at the grasses and the seeds and the trees. Listen to the sounds of the birds, listen to creation, listen to life. Look around you and even realize you're only seeing a tiny fraction of the wavelength spectrum of light. You can only see a little tiny piece of it. There's so much more. I mean, honeybees can see ultraviolet patterns in flowers, right? And insects and dogs and birds can hear at higher frequencies. You're not even hearing all that, and it's already overwhelmingly amazing. How can you not see God in a blade of grass? Because that wasn't created by man. It didn't come out of a lab. How can you not see God in the petals of a flower? How can you not see God in looking at the sky and the atmosphere and seeing the clouds and having rain fall out of the sky for free and looking at the sun and all this warmth and energy and beneficial radiation that gives life to our planet. How can you see that and not see God? How can you wake up and see that the sun came up and not see God in that? You'd have to be blind. And I mean spiritually blind. And yet people are. All the miracles are around them in every moment of every day, and they still say, I don't see God. Well, maybe you've never opened your eyes. Maybe you've never actually looked at what's all around you. Your own body's a miracle. All right, I know we got to move into the main topic of today, so I'm going to skip a couple of the other little smaller headlines. We're going to talk about the spike protein here with this Jonas Salk Institute and their story. This is critical to understand. This is an admission or a recognition by a mainstream medical science organization that the spike protein is deadly, and therefore the vaccines that inject you with spike protein or that force your body to manufacture spike protein, those vaccines are deadly. And this is why so many people are dying from the vaccines. Now, just quickly an update on that. I published an article yesterday on Natural News searching through the VAERS data system. That's V-A-E-R-S. And you can find that yourself at vaers.hhs.gov. And if you search for vaccine deaths in the year 2021 versus 2020, you find there's been a 4,000% increase, or nearly that, in 2021 just so far versus the entire year of 2020. Now, VAERS is a system of reporting, and most vaccine deaths never get reported to VAERS, especially if they happen days or weeks later. So you know how a lot of people are dying a few weeks later, like that rapper DMX, right? He got the vaccine, and then he died of a heart attack a week or two later. That wasn't reported to the VAERS system as a vaccine death. That was reported as a heart attack death. The same thing with baseball legend Hank Aaron and all these other people that are dying. They're dying weeks later, usually from blood clots caused by the vaccine, which we'll talk about here in a second. And it's never recorded as a vaccine death. So when you look at the actual number of vaccine deaths in VAERS, understand that's only about either 1% of the actual number, or maybe as much as 10%. So the numbers that are officially given by VAERS are very low. It might only be 1/10 or 1/100 of the real numbers, because these are the deaths that happen like right away when a doctor is watching or a nurse is watching. So in 2020, the entire year of 2020, the number of people reported to have died from vaccines in the United States across all vaccines was 82. Now, yes, that number's very low, and the real number is much higher, but that's what was recorded in VAERS. Now, for the year 2021 so far, using data only up to about 2 weeks ago, not even getting into May yet, the number is 3,235, which is almost 4,000% higher than all the deaths of 2020. So why are there 3,235 VAERS vaccine deaths reported so far in 2021 if this vaccine isn't killing anyone? Well, what's killing all these people from vaccines if not the vaccine? Right. Good question. The real number, of course, is 10 times higher to up to 100 times higher. So the real number of how many Americans have died from the COVID vaccine is probably 33,000 to maybe 330,000. Now, I've made a very conservative estimate on this, and I'm estimating that right now, as of today, at least 50,000 Americans have been killed by the COVID vaccine. This number is going to dramatically increase throughout the year, especially in the fall and winter, for reasons that we'll discuss here. It's almost a certainty that by the end of this year, there will be at least 250,000 Americans dead from the COVID vaccine. And over the next couple of years, that number will absolutely exceed 1 million people. This is a Holocaust. This is a Holocaust. Now, it will never be reported as a million deaths from this vaccine. They'll all be reported as some other kinds of deaths. But the thing they'll have in common is they all got the vaccine a few days earlier, a few weeks earlier, a few months earlier, or even last year, because the effects are long-term. Just as in the animal experiments that killed the ferrets and other animals, it took time for all those animals to die. They died prematurely from the vaccine, but not immediately. And this is why there are so many Americans out there that are taking the vaccine and then declaring, sometimes in your face, like, I took it and I'm fine, you know, like, I didn't die. And your answer, not yet. You know, check in with me in 9 months. I'll see how you're doing. But people think they're fine if they survived the first day or two. And what's fascinating to me is that a lot of people experience crazy side effects and they survive those. And then they think that's over. So they'll say things like, yeah, I had a crazy migraine. Yeah. Yeah. And, I had a weird thumping in my heart and my right nut sack got all frozen, but I'm okay now. I survived, you know, whatever. They tell you all these bizarre symptoms. Yeah, the vein in my temple exploded. And it's like, dude, what? Why would you go back for more of that? They're like, doctor said that's totally normal. No, the doctor said you're totally abnormal. That's what the doctor said, but that's another story. You survived all that and you want more? Don't you know the second shot is worse and the third shot is worse and the fourth shot is even worse? Because, well, I guess we'll talk about why here, but you're building up not only the spike proteins, but you're building up your, well, it's called pathogenic priming. So your immune system is getting primed to overreact to future exposure. And by the way, it makes no sense to introduce a respiratory virus into your bloodstream. It makes no sense at all. That's not the way you're infected normally, through your blood. I mean, you don't inhale directly into your blood, do you? You inhale into your lungs. So if there was really going to be, let's say, a legitimate safe vaccine for a respiratory virus that really induced a strong innate immune response, well, that vaccine would have to be introduced into the body through a respiratory route. It would have to be basically an inhalable vaccine, you know, if there were to be one, not something that you inject, because these spike proteins aren't supposed to be in your blood, are they? No, they're not supposed to be in your blood. They're supposed to be introduced into your lungs, and then your body starts to recognize them there and tries to block them from getting into the blood. And so that's a layer of your immune system defense that's supposed to be activated, but it's bypassed by the vaccines that are injecting them straight in your blood. And that's what causes your crazy Uncle Bob to blow out his right temple. And I'm still here, you know, because he got blood clots. And I had all kinds of weird bruising all over myself, and I didn't even beat myself. And it's like, dude, you should maybe put a halt on the vaccine visits. This is crazy. But, you know, by the way, just as a side note, and I know this is entirely inappropriate, but all that bruising does remind me of the question. If you have a biological male who thinks who's a transgender, thinks he's a woman and becomes a wife and marries a biological woman who's pretending to be a man, so a transgender man who's the husband, and then there is domestic violence taking place, when the cop shows up, who should he arrest? The man or the woman or the wife or the husband? Or, I mean, how do you sort that situation out? That's a tough one. Because the reason I ask is because there's an Olympic weightlifter that is now a transgender weightlifter who's a biological man and is going to be competing in the Olympics against women. And this man, born as a man, looks like a man, got muscles like a man. You know, this is a weightlifter here, right? Big, strong dude. Says he's a woman. He's sweeping up all the women's trophies. He's breaking all the women's records. And the libtards are applauding this. This is so amazing. It's such progress. And what about the women who are working out at the gym and lifting weights and trying to compete? What? They're no longer gold trophy winners or gold medal winners? You can't win first place anymore if you're a woman? Because
a big hairy dude came in and said he's a lady and started outlifting you 2-1 because men are built that way, or at least some men. Yeah, it's so wrong on so many levels, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, society's insane. I mean, a transgender weightlifter just competing against women. It's just bizarre. I mean, these are demonic times. There's no other way to say it. But all right, we got to get back to spike protein here. Maybe the Olympics will require all their athletes get vaccinated first. Well, that should be a wild competition year when all their hearts start pumping, you know, they start blowing out veins and everything. Like, what's going on? Yeah, you took the vaccine and you tried to lift 800 pounds. Things went bad. But getting back to the Salk Institute. So we've covered how many deaths there are, like at least 50,000 deaths right now in America from the vaccine. Now, keep in mind that the criminal media, they're beyond just lying. They are criminals. They are terrorists. They're the enemies of humanity at every level. They claim no one has died from the vaccine when it's about 50,000 people, you know, realistically, or somewhere around there. They claim it's none. None. But these are the people who claim, you know, Joe Biden is the most popular president in history and won the election and so on. So obviously they're just liars and they don't even understand numbers. But just keep this in mind. As people keep dying and we approach 1 million Americans dead over the next few years, they're still going to tell you nobody died. Even when it's your own family members, your own neighbors, like body bags everywhere, people disappearing, the people you know at work, is like a quarter of them are missing. Now, they're still going to say nobody died from the vaccine. No, couldn't be the vaccine because we've been assured the vaccine is 100% safe and effective. Science doesn't lie. Science can't be wrong. Science is self-correcting, they say. It can't possibly be wrong. Therefore, vaccines can't cause damage. This is why the Associated Press announced, you know, 2 days ago that anybody who says they're experiencing side effects from the vaccine is just suffering from anxiety. It's a figment of your imagination, they say. You're making it up. It's not even real. And as I pointed out, the reason this problem is so pervasive of covering up the deaths from vaccines is because it turns out that dead people no longer post on Facebook. I know, which is shocking because they did manage to have non-human cyborgs run Facebook, or, you know, Zuckerberg. But dead people don't post on Facebook. So when people die, they don't actually announce to the social media, hey, I was killed by a vaccine. They just vanish. They're gone. And nobody hears from them. And then if a family member goes online and says, hey, you know, Aunt Betty over here, she just died from a vaccine. I'm the family member. Then that person gets censored and banned by Zuckerberg, the cyborg. And so you're not allowed to say it. So there's no mechanism. As this Holocaust accelerates, there's no mechanism by which anybody could learn the truth about this. It's all covered up. And the best witnesses who are being harmed by this are dead. And dead people don't talk, you know, as the Clintons have known for a long time. But now it's also true in the vaccine industry. All right, so with that context covered, let's get into the salk.edu. The title of this article, if you want to pull it up yourself, just go to DuckDuckGo and search for this. The novel coronavirus spike protein plays additional key role in illness. And the subtitle is that Salk researchers and collaborators show how the protein damages cells, confirming COVID-19 as a primary vascular disease. Now, just for the record, when Salk is not anti-vaccine, and they probably did not realize when they published this article that they were, in effect, admitting that vaccines are death weapons. That's not their intention. That's a pure accident. They'll probably pull this article. So you might want to read it while you can. La Jolla. Scientists have known for a while, that's the city in California. Scientists have known for a while that SARS-CoV-2 Distinct spike proteins help the virus infect its host by latching onto healthy cells. Now, a major new study shows that the virus spike proteins also play a key role in the disease itself. The paper, published on the April 30, 2021 edition of Circulation Research, also shows conclusively that COVID-19 is a vascular disease, demonstrating exactly how the SARS-CoV-2 virus damages and attacks the vascular system on a cellular level. The findings help explain COVID-19's wide array of seemingly unconnected complications, i.e., you know, strokes and heart attacks and pulmonary embolisms and what are they called? Like vein thrombosis in the brain. I don't know the exact term, etc. And could open the door for new research into more effective therapies. Now, you may recall about a year ago, there was a New York doctor who was a whistleblower, and I forgot his name, but he was putting out videos on YouTube saying everybody's treating this the wrong way. They're treating it as a respiratory disease, and it's actually, it is a vascular disease. People are dying from lack of oxygen in the blood, and people are being killed by ventilators, right? He was sounding the alarm. I'm sorry I forgot his name. He was a whistleblower. What did they do? Threaten to fire him, silence him, and then banned all his videos on YouTube. Why? Because Cuomo was in the process of mass murder. They were murdering elderly with ventilators in order to get the death numbers high enough to spread mass hysteria so they could push eventually the vaccines, which are the death weapons. So that doctor, and he was, I think he was an emergency room physician. He told the truth, and he saw it from day one. And so they censored him and threatened him. Okay. Quote, a lot of people think of it as a respiratory disease, but it's really a vascular disease, says assistant research professor Yuri Maner, M-A-N-O-R, Maner, who is a co-senior author of the study. That could explain why some people have strokes and why some people have issues in other parts of the body. Oh, you mean like what I've been saying for months? Oh, wow. They should have cited the health ranger in this article. The commonality between them is that they all have vascular underpinnings. Really? You don't say. Because blood clots affect all the organs? It affects the heart and the brain and the lungs, even reproductive organs? Yeah, it does. All of that. All right, now we're not done yet. While the findings themselves aren't entirely a surprise, the paper provides clear confirmation and a detailed explanation of the mechanism through which the protein damages vascular cells for the first time. There's been growing consensus that SARS-CoV-2 affects the vascular system, but exactly how it did so was not understood. Similarly, scientists studying other coronaviruses have long suspected that the spike protein contributed to damaging vascular endothelial cells, but this is the first time the process has been documented. Oh. So check this out. In a new study, the researchers created a pseudovirus that was surrounded by the classic crown of spike proteins of SARS-CoV-2, but did not contain any actual virus. Okay, got this? In other words, this is what they're injecting into people, basically, in the vaccines. Okay, so it's a spike protein structure without an actual virus. Continuing, exposure to this pseudovirus resulted in damage to the lungs and arteries of an animal model, proving that the spike protein alone was enough to cause disease. Oh! Tissue samples showed inflammation in endothelial cells lining the pulmonary artery walls. Yeah. So, you take the spike protein, you inject it into bloodstreams of animals and also people, and you get crazy insane inflammation of arteries, which causes what? Oh, heart attacks, circulation problems, and also blood clots are happening. And then the blood clots are spreading to the brain and causing strokes and in some cases, basically arterial collapse and blowouts, aneurysms, all kinds of crazy things. Depends on the person. Depends on the state of their vascular system, right? Depends on their diet, too. If they're already eating a highly inflammatory diet and then you hit them with spike protein, well, they're going to suffer catastrophic inflammation of the cardiovascular system. So those are my comments, not from the article. But continuing from the article, the team then replicated this process in the lab, exposing healthy endothelial cells, which line arteries, to the spike protein. They showed that the spike protein damaged the cells by binding ACE2, which we've been talking about for over a year. This binding disrupted ACE2's molecular signaling to mitochondria, causing the mitochondria to become damaged and fragmented. Oh, you don't say. So, in other words, the cell's energy centers are no longer able to produce energy. Why are people so fatigued after vaccines, and some of them dead? Why are they suffering strokes? Why do they have no energy? Because the mitochondria are being blocked. Because the spike protein is binding up with the molecular signaling to the mitochondria through the ACE2 receptors. Okay, this is the first study to show that the damage occurs when cells are exposed to the spike protein on its own. You got that? In other words, the virus isn't really the most harmful part of this. You don't even need the virus to kill somebody. You just need the spike protein. And that alone will kill people. Now, what does the mRNA vaccine do? The mRNA vaccine programs your body's cells to produce what? The spike protein, the thing that kills you. The people at Moderna must be arrested and charged with crimes against humanity. And I've said that a lot recently, but they need to be included on the list. They've developed a weapon system that goes into someone's body and turns their body into a factory to produce substances, certain proteins, spike proteins, that will kill them in many people. And people who don't die immediately may die later because now their endothelial cells are compromised. Their entire vascular system is compromised. And when they have exposure to other coronaviruses in the wild, they will have a hyperinflammatory reaction in many cases. And when they get other vaccine shots, round two, round three, booster four, whatever it's called, here, take your COVID-22 shot, your COVID-23 shot, COVID-22 part A, part B, part C. Got to keep your vaccine passport up to date, don't you? Don't you want to ride the bus? Yeah. Go into the football stadium? Go to a concert? Yeah. Got to have the vaccine. They keep doing that. And at some point, there's a tipping point, criticality of your vascular system, and you die because they've been flooding your body with weapons. In fact, your body has been making the weapons and flooding your blood with the weapons that will kill you. This is beyond, this is not just like lining up Jews and shooting them in the head over a ditch. And I'm sorry to even invoke that imagery, but I only do so because what this is even worse. This is lining up humans of every ethnicity, shooting them in the arm, and telling them it's medicine while they walk away and their bodies turn into weapons factories that will kill them later on. It's even more insidious than just shooting people in the head. It's shooting them in the arm so that their bodies are turned into weapons against themselves. And then calling it medicine and claiming this will save your life, this will protect you when it's a weapon system. That's so much more insidious than what the Nazis did to the Jews, which was already a Holocaust itself. But now this is a vaccine Holocaust. This is an atrocity against humanity. And every person involved in this is guilty of carrying out medical crimes, medical experiments against humanity. Nuremberg Code violations here. All right. Continuing with the Salk article. Quote, if you remove the replicating capabilities of the virus, it still has a major damaging effect on the vascular cells simply by virtue of its ability to bind to this ACE2 receptor, the S protein receptor, now famous thanks to COVID. Maynor explains. Further studies with mutant spike proteins will also provide new insights, blah, blah, blah. And then they list a bunch of authors, and this was actually funded by the NIH. Probably accidentally, this one slipped through Fauci's fingers. Slipped through his grip, his Darth Vader-like grip over science funding. So you see, even the Salk Institute admits, effectively, that mRNA vaccines are killing people. So it should be no surprise when we see vaccine deaths skyrocketing 4,000%. And actually, if you just compare Q1 2021 with Q1 2020, it's actually gone up 16,000%. Yeah, that's right. 16,000%. And yet we're told nobody's being harmed, nobody's dying, while people are being injected with this at every pharmacy in America. And it's almost like, shouldn't we call the police or something? But the police don't understand spike proteins and medicine like this. That's not their expertise. But it just feels like there should be somebody we could call to say, hey, there's a Holocaust happening down the lane over here. It's in the Walgreens, it's in the Walmart, it's in the CVS, it's in the grocery store pharmacy. There's a Holocaust happening. People are being murdered with euthanasia shots. Shouldn't somebody do something? And if you actually called the police, they would say, nothing we can do. It's FDA authorized for emergency use. So the FDA, through its emergency use authorization, what, legalized the Holocaust? So does this mean, are you telling me that if Hitler had a health agency that authorized the emergency gassing of Jews with Zyklon B, then that would be okay because it was authorized for emergency use? You know, for the greater good of the Aryan race or whatever. Because that's the same thing we're being told. Oh, it's for the greater good. Some of you may have to die. Roll up your sleeve. Be part of the experiment. And there's nothing you can do. Who do we call? Seriously. And I guess the answer is you call on God and we call on ourselves. Or maybe we call on God and God calls on us. We are the first responders. We are the team that must save humanity. It does come down to us. There is no earthly authority that's going to intervene and stop the Holocaust. That will not happen. There is only divine authority that will ultimately judge all of this, but in the meantime, there's us. We the people. We have to rise up and stop the Holocaust. That is the only answer here that will end the atrocities. But, and this is a big but, it's like an Oprah but, we are going to have to, was that not appropriate to say that? I'm not even apologizing for that. We are going to have to watch and see as, sadly, 1 million or more Americans die before the public will be on our side. See, right now the propaganda is so intense that the people we're trying to save will oppose us. It's just like that scene in The Matrix, you know, where they're in the simulation. And I think Morpheus says to Neo, the very people you're trying to free will resist your efforts because this is all they know. That's the same thing that's true today. People will resist your efforts to save them because they feel comfortable believing in false authority. They feel comfort in wearing a mask that doesn't work. They feel comfort in taking a vaccine shot that's designed to kill them. They garner comfort from it because they're oblivious and they're brainwashed and indoctrinated and frankly not that bright. The only way we're going to be able to save more of these people is to wait for the correct opportunity. Well, maybe that's not the right way to say it. I'm not saying stand by and do nothing, not by any means, but the critical mass of the population being willing to rise up and end the Holocaust, sadly, that's going to take a lot more of the vaccine violence to become apparent to people before people are willing to do that. In other words, in a sick, twisted kind of way, there's not yet the level of suffering from the vaccine industry across the population that's necessary to catalyze the mass outcry that's necessary to maybe initiate the arrests of these criminals working against humanity. That's what I'm saying. And so, yeah, you and I can be the early warning whistleblowers. We try to stop this now, try to save lives, but it's kind of like speaking out against Hitler in 1937 or something. Or 39, 38, when he was just rising to power, but he wasn't yet mass murdering everybody. And if you warned about Hitler at that time and you were a German citizen, your neighbors were like, oh, this dude's great. What are you talking about? He would never harm a human being. You're saying he's going to gas ovens and concentration camps. You're out of your mind. You're like a fearmonger, they would say. You're a conspiracy theorist. So sometimes history has to unfold a little bit more before the oblivious will notice it, especially when they're living through it. And if there's one thing that we can all recognize, you listening to this and myself and all of us, is that we are living among oblivious zombies. You know, over-medicated, undereducated, or miseducated, you know, oblivious, heavily banned, censored, disconnected from reality, zombies. And those are the ones who aren't on Ambien yet, or having many strokes from the vaccines. You know, we're living surrounded by zombies, and there has to be overwhelming evidence in their faces for zombies to realize something's happening. It's like, why is everybody dying? It has to be undeniable. Because right now they can explain it away. Oh, no, it's just people dying from heart attacks, whatever. It's just people dying from strokes. It's just strokes. But when the body bags start piling up and so many people go missing and there's a million deaths, you know, at some point it's going to be like something's gone horribly wrong. And there'll be more whistleblowers, more doctors and scientists coming out and saying this is all wrong. Because they will be afraid that all of science will be discredited, which it may be. And the entire vaccine industry will be completely discredited. The entire modern medical system will be completely discredited. And what they're afraid is that people like myself and maybe you will be calling for public executions of people found guilty of carrying out crimes against humanity, like Joseph Mengele in the Nazi regime. That's what they're afraid of. They don't want public hangings. Although there's no better way to send a message to the future to say, hey, don't try this again. Don't mass murder human beings. It's a crime against humanity. And if the courts find you guilty, there's going to be a court-ordered consequence like there was after the Nuremberg trials. We're going to see that again, I suspect. So that they're very afraid of that. That's why they're trying to cover this up as much as possible. But the tactical mistake that the vaccine industry has made is that they have developed a very dangerous product that's so dangerous they can't hide the deaths forever, and they know it. Why do you think they have all the censorship of so-called anti-vaxxers? Why are they trying to destroy anti-vaxxers? Why are they threatening Dr. Mercola aggressively and so on, forcing him to pull down articles? Why are they, you know, threatening me and doing DDoS attacks and everything else? And the Bollingers, all these people, why? Well, the answer is very simple. Because they know they can't cover it up forever. They're just trying to delay it as long as possible, you know, the truth coming out, so they can achieve as much murder as possible before people realize, whoa, we shouldn't have taken those shots. You know, they're hoping they can get maybe 200 million Americans to take the shots before the shots are recalled and the truth comes out and the Holocaust is all exposed. And then that's 200 million Americans who are pretty much goners, or at least a lot of them. Over the next 5 to 10 years, depending on how this plays out, you know, you could see millions die within 2 to 3 years and tens of millions over the next decade because of this vaccine. They know that. So they're just trying to inject as many people as possible because they know there's no undo. Once you're injected with the spike proteins, there's no undo. You can't ever reverse that. It's in your vascular system from that day forward. You're primed to die. That's all by design. So they know, I mean, let's zoom out even more. The globalists know, and this is kind of the wrap up here. The globalists know that they're going to succeed in killing billions of human beings currently alive. They know they're going to crash the global fiat currency systems, crush economies, confiscate assets and wealth, drive most of the world's population into famine through engineered food scarcity, and also drive people into death through lawlessness, chaos, violence in the cities. This is all by design. It's all coalescing by design at the same time. They're going to do it all at the same time. Money supply collapses, mass death from the vaccines, collapse of cities, collapse of the rule of law, and food scarcity, mass starvation, chaos, lawlessness, death, all of it. It's all going to happen together. And the clock has begun. I mean, the countdown has begun. It's ticking right now. This is happening now. The beginning of it is now. And they know, the globalists know, that when the people of the world figure all this out, they're coming for them. You know, there's going to be a populist uprising on a global scale that threatens the very existence of the global cabal of power brokers that are running all of this, the death pharma industry, you know, the vaccine bioweapons, the fake central banks, the governments weaponized against the people, the deep states of every nation around the world, the globalist depopulation agenda, the alteration of the stratosphere, the fake climate change war against life on Earth, all of this. These globalists realize they can be destroyed by the masses if the masses awaken to this. And that's why they're trying to kill as many of them as possible. It's like a farmer trying to slaughter his cows so that they don't wake up and realize they could all stomp the farmer to death if they wanted to and be free. You know, that's basically what this is. We're all just ranch animals to the globalists, and they've decided it's time to cull the herd. Why do you think they call it herd immunity? You know, they treat you like cattle. So that's the story for today. I know it's been an interesting little tour of many different issues. I just want to add, you know, it's been a wild week of podcasts. If you miss any podcasts of the week, from Monday through Friday here, go back and listen to them, because this has been an especially intense week of important information. And yesterday I had two podcasts that I think are really worth listening to. I'll have the next one for you Monday morning. Like you, I'm going to spend this weekend prepping and, oh my gosh, trying to get ready for what's coming. It's going to be a rough ride for all of us, even those of us who are prepared. Imagine the unprepared. They're going to be panicked, clueless, desperate. Don't be around them. And that's going to be a bad scene. But have a great weekend. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for supporting the Health Ranger store. Thank you for your prayers. They do matter. Thank you for joining us and being part of this fight for human survival against mad scientists, you know, criminally insane globalists who are trying to exterminate humanity. We are the survivors, and we can make it through this, but it's not going to be easy. So thank you for all your support. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.